talk about something?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. Call this meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Raquel Chavez. Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Sherlyn Muir.
Here.
Board Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blakemore, can you verify a quorum and that appropriate notification of the public meeting was posted?
Mr. Chairman, I can verify that the meeting has been called pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act and that you do indeed have a quorum.
Thank you. We'll turn our attention then to approving the agenda for the meeting. It previously offered for consideration the creation of a consent agenda, including items 9A, 1 through 3, and 6 through 9, and 9B, 3 through 8, and 10 through 12. I understand the administration would also like to add items 9B, 1, and 2 to the consent agenda. So if there are no objections, I would like a motion to create a consent agenda to immediately precede President's Report Number 99, consisting of items 9A, 1 through 3, and 6 through 9, and 9B, 1 through 8, and 10 through 12.
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's now my pleasure to offer a resolution for John R. Butler to recognize his distinguished service to the Board of Trustees of Northern Illinois University. The resolution is in your printed material, and I would entertain a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Is there a second? Discussion. John, if you would accompany me to the podium, we'll do a reading. I think there's slightly bigger type here.
No.
So this is a resolution to John R. Butler, distinguished service to the Board of Trustees of Northern Illinois University. Whereas John R. Butler has faithfully served as a member of the Northern Illinois University Board of Trustees since 2007, and whereas on June 30th, 2015, John R. Butler completed a second consecutive term as chair of the Board of Trustees, and whereas John R. Butler has also served the board in the position of vice chair of the board and chair of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee from 2009 to 2011, and currently serves as vice chair of the board, chair of the Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee, chair of the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance, and vice chair of the Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment in the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. And whereas John R. Butler has invested a significant amount of time and energy in service to the Board of Trustees and the students, faculty, and staff in administration at Northern Illinois University for more than 8 years, particularly upon assuming the duties as chair, presiding over the installation of the 12th president of NIU, Douglas D. Baker, during a period of rapid transformation of the demands, responsibilities, and expectations of public higher education. And whereas, as chair, John R. Butler led the Board of Trustees and the university through efforts to facilitate and align the work of the board with that of the university, bringing transparency to the budget development process, encouraging discussion and innovation to address the evolution of NIU's sophisticated and dynamic approach to programming geared toward diversity, enhance the board's understanding of and appreciation for the research activities of the students and faculty, and the impact of NIU research on disciplinary knowledge and related industries, and responded to the important expectations and responsibilities that occasion higher education governance today. And whereas in furtherance of these objectives, John R. Butler created the Ad Hoc Committee on Sponsored Research and Technology Transfer, oversaw a revision of committee composition resulting in the formation of the Legislative Affairs Research and Innovation Committee and the Compliance Audit Risk Management and Legal Affairs Committee, created the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance, and created the Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment. And whereas we, as his colleagues on the Board of Trustees, want to express our appreciation for his years of service to the NI community, and especially his leadership of the board from 2013 through 2015, and look forward to John R. Butler's continued service to the board, faculty, staff, students, and administration through at least January 2019. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Northern Illinois University, in formal meeting herein assembled, extends its grateful appreciation to John R. Butler for his distinguished service to Northern Illinois University as Chair of the Board of Trustees from July 1, 2013 through July 30, 2015. Be it further resolved that this resolution be presented to John R. Butler and a copy of this document be placed in the official files of the Board of Trustees as part of the permanent record of the University and the great state of Illinois and as a lasting tribute to the accomplishments of John R. Butler, adopted in a regular meeting assembled the 17th day of September, 2015. Can call for a vote on the motion, please? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Just a few remarks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a very well... well appreciated honor. Thank you very much for taking the time to put this in writing so that we can remember not just the things that I was able to do as chair, but the things that we were able to do as a board and a university together. I feel very proud of that record, but I also feel very proud of the record that preceded it. This is a very hardworking board. These are very conscientious trustees. We've had a strong relationship with the university administration and the faculty and staff and the students and you know, various other stakeholders. I've been on the board since late 2007, so it's been quite a journey for me. And as I said in my remarks when I spoke in my last chair's report, it's been what I would call an exhilarating experience. For me, a learning experience and an opportunity to give back to a university that meant a great deal to me and still does. So thank you very much.
All right, review and approval of minutes for the May 28th, 2015 special meeting, June 18th, 2015 regular meeting, and August 6th, 2015 executive committee meeting. Can I have a motion to approve those minutes, please? Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I don't have extensive comments this morning. I'd like to thank everybody for attending, and let's get down to work. I think the only thing that I would like to do is to make sure that we recognize representatives from the University Advisory Committee that may be present this morning. I see at least one, so any that are present that wish to make a comment, that'd be appropriate now.
Thank you and good morning. I'm Greg Long. I am President of the Faculty Senate and Executive Secretary of University Council. I'm speaking today primarily in my role as Faculty Senate President right now. I've been in this position for 2.5 months, and one of my primary tasks so far has been going out and talking to a variety of different faculty groups and individuals about shared governance and concerns. And the overriding sentiment I get in talking to people around campus is a desire to help, a desire to be part of the solution. And so my point in making comments today is to say that we as faculty really want to be a resource for the board, and if there are ways in which we can offer perspectives, advice, opinions, we're more than happy to do so, in addition to certainly having these opening statements. But if there are other ways that we can provide meaningful feedback, we'd be happy to do so. I'd also want to thank Chair Mark Strauss, who has agreed to meet with me next Thursday morning so we can talk about this a little further. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Your invitation to collaborate is gratefully accepted, and I look forward to speaking with you. Any other members of the University Advisory Committee wish to speak this morning? If not, we'll move to public comment. I have just one request. Is that correct, Mr. Blakemore? Derek Van Buer, if you could approach the podium, and the floor is yours.
Good Good morning, Mr. Chairman and other members of the Board of Trustees. I wanted to share a few items today relating to the indemnification of President Baker and Nancy Sutterfield. In the handout I provided you, the first item is a letter from Representative Drake K requesting information on the indemnification of Nancy Sutterfield. On page 3 is an email from the General Counsel Office of Nancy Sutterfield's attorney relating to the establishment of an indemnification agreement. The email is dated February 10th, 2015. On page 10 is an engagement letter from Mintz Levin to President Baker. It is dated February 20th, 2015, the same date in Nancy Sutterfield's indemnification agreement. The amount for Mintz Levin is $19,999 as entered in the purchase order, page 12. Notice the description, consultant services. Consultant services for legal services. On page 15, it states in the minutes from the May 28, 2015 Special Executive Committee meeting, approval for Mintz Levin to provide indemnification costs for President Baker. It goes on to say approval up to $50,000. Who is the $50,000 for? On page 18 is an engagement letter to President Baker about outside legal services for President Baker. The letter is dated April 15, 2015, and is copied to Trustees Butler and Strauss. The amount is for $50,000. $50,000 plus $20,000 exceeds $50,000 by $20,000. So who is the $50,000 for? Drinker or Mintz Levin? What about this extra engagement? Where is approval? In addition, the request for action at the August 6, 2015 Executive Committee was for approval up to $100,000 for President Baker's leave of services. Who is this money for? Everett County Watchdogs published on their website a story about Nancy Sutterfield's indemnification agreement. In their story, they noted all the references to the controller and assistant controller in the indemnification agreement. Representative Kay raised the issue about reserves for Nancy Sutterfield. Has the budget included a reserve for President Baker's legal costs? Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. So I have reports of the board committees and the board liaisons. There's no report regarding the executive committee. Trustee Marshall, will you report on the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee?
Thank you. The Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting from was able to forward for approval by the full board two recommendations. One is to delete emphasis one of the physical education 6 to 12 within the physical education K to 12 and 6 to 12 educator licensure, which is in the bachelor's program. Recommendation also for approval of an off-cycle tenure request for the new chair of the Department of Literacy and Elementary Education. Beyond the two action items, there were four very relevant information items presented to the committee. The recognition of faculty emeritus professors, the recognition of the Professional Excellence Awards, a presentation on the Affordable Care Act, and an update on the program prioritization process. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Trustee Muir chairs the Compliance, Audit, Risk Management, and Legal Affairs Committee. Do you have a report?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to provide the report on Compliance, Audit, Risk Management, and Legal Affairs Committee, which met on Thursday, August 27, 2015. Although the agenda had several items on it, we made a determination to focus on one area in particular, and that is enterprise, risk management update and options by Vice President for Administration and Finance, Dr. Alan Phillips. The discussion on enterprise risk management systems by Dr. Phillips included several options on how to approach these issues. There was significant discussion in this regard. Four options were presented, including in-house in-house with limited consultation, outside resource utilization, or no involvement whatsoever in terms of moving forward with a new course of action. Obviously, number one was not entertained, and we looked to the other three options in great detail. The board consensus was option number four, which was to assess risk and match with current risk management controls through an in-house process. But we asked Dr. Phillips to also act in the manner of a consultant, which is to provide timelines, work plans, and most importantly, to report back to this committee on a regular basis. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Trustee Butler chairs the Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. Do you have a report this morning?
Thank you, I do.
The Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee, since our last meeting, has met twice, once in a special meeting called on August 6th to review plans related to the renovation of the Home Student Center and Neptune Hall. Following that, the board met at its regular committee time at 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 27th, 2015, in which it considered six action items and six information items. The action items included the fiscal year 2016 internal budget, the fiscal year 2017 budget request guidelines, fiscal year 2017 appropriated capital budget requests, fiscal year 2017 non-appropriated capital budget, the investment and cash management policy, and the Department of Psychology subcontract, a subcontract amendment for the Department of Psychology. The information items were a 2015 fiscal year report on tuition and fee waivers, a 2015 fiscal year report on capital activities, an FY15 annual report of transactions involving real property, an FY15 report, annual report of cash and investments, a quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of $100,000, and an annual summary report of obligations of financial resources. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Trustee Muir also chairs the Legislative Affairs Research and Innovation Committee. Is there a report
yes,
on that?
Yes, thank you. There are three major areas of consideration under the Legislative Affairs Research and Innovation. We began by looking at legislation, both federal and state. Mike Mann began by giving us an update in terms of legislative progress or lack thereof in Springfield and the continued report of budget deficits. We did challenge Mr. Mann to provide us with good news at our next meeting, and he is diligently searching for such in Springfield. We then shifted our focus to Washington and Dr. Anna Quider, who is going on maternity leave and has left a very strong portfolio in Washington. Dr. Blasey will serve in this capacity until Dr. Quider returns back to Northern Illinois University. We had highlights by Ms. Dara Little in regards to some of the faculty funding accomplishments this past year, including the most prestigious National Science Foundation Career Award that was secured by Dr. Mark Schuller in anthropology, and we're very excited about that. We had an overview of research activities in the Department of Physics. One of the aspects of our committee is that we like to go in depth, and we asked Dr. Larry Lurio to summarize the three main disciplines in the physics department, condensed matter, beams, and high-energy physics. Dr. Lurio discussed NIU's collaboration with Fermi and Argonne Laboratories in all three disciplines. And that moves us into the area of innovation, and we're very excited about what is happening with our relationship building with Fermilab, the Fermilab and NIU collaboration. There are two new hires of world-class scholars, Dr. Chapon and Dr. Chateaupallier, formerly director of the Cockcroft Institute in the UK, and Dr. Michael Seifers, formerly a member of Michigan State Accelerator Group. These are wonderful hires in addition to NIU's quality faculty. We have already, Dr. Chateaupayet has already helped to attract $560,000 in NSF funding and over $1 million in internal Fermilab funds for the Fermilab and NIU collaboration. Dr. Cyphers, leader in accelerator education, as well as research, brings his own $200,000 a year NSF grant with him. And presidential research professor Dr. Philippe Pio, a long-term member of the accelerator team, recently received a $1.9 million award from the Department of Homeland Security. So a total in the last year, the accelerator science program has increased research by $3.5 million. How exciting that is, Dr. Baker. How exciting. And Provost Freeman, that is a wonderful accomplishment as a research institute, which we continue to make sure that it is well known that Northern Illinois does focus its attentions on research. That completes my report. I think, Mr. Mann, we were able to bring quite a bit of good news in research and innovation, and let's see what we can do in legislation. Thank you.
Thank you for your report. I chair the Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment. It has not met since the last meeting of the full board, but I would report to my colleagues that we plan to have a meeting of this committee on October 14th. Trustee Butler chairs the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance. Do you have a report?
That's when governance is meeting also, correct?
It
I believe so. The Ad Hoc Committee on Governance has not met since our last regular full board meeting. And as Mark Strauss has just mentioned, the scheduled date for the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance is the same date as the Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment. That's October 14th, and we'll have a report to the board at its next meeting as to the activities of that committee.
Thank you. President Baker reports on the Illinois Board of Higher Education.
Thank you. The board did meet, and it met the Illinois Board of Higher Education met on August 11th, 2015 at Kishwaukee College. We're hosted by Tom Choice, president, who will be retiring this fall. They had three action items: advocacy for quality higher education, increasing adult completions aligned with economic needs, reducing attainment gaps, and improving affordability. In regard to the latter, there was a roundtable discussion on the Illinois Public Agenda for College and Career Success. Mike Mann helped write part of the report about affordability issues, and a panel was held, and Dr. Lisa Freeman, our Executive Vice President and Provost, was asked to be on that panel. She commented on the report, noting the need to order the priority of suggestions, understanding the holistic student success ecosystem so that we can focus on important things from advising to financial aid, the need for reduction in regulatory and compliance issues to decrease costs for things like inventory tagging of things at $500 level and below. Also, should we reconsider the truth in tuition law? And there's some evidence around the country that such laws drive up tuition rather than hold it down, so potentially looking at that from a state policy perspective. I thought it was notable that both Mike had been asked to help craft the document and Dr. Freeman had been asked to comment on it. I think it shows well for how well they and the university are respected for their thought leadership. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Trustee Marshall serves as our liaison to the State University Civil Service Merit Board. Trustee Marshall, do you have a report?
Yes, I do. At its August 19th, 2015 meeting, the University Civil Service Board heard reports from the Human Resource Directors Advisory Committee, the State University Civil Service Advisory Committee, the Interim Executive Director, and the Legal Counsel. Under action items, the board approved the 2017 line item budget for presentation to the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and also went into executive session to discuss personnel matters. As I speak, in fact, 25 minutes from now, that same unit will be meeting to declare a winner from the three finalists for the executive director's position for the merit board. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
see Catherine Swires, and I believe you're going to report this morning on both the Foundation and the Alumni Association. Is that correct?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in my capacity, finally, as the president and CEO of the foundation. The last time I was here, I was still the lady in waiting and had an opportunity to hear Mike Malone's final report to you. And I'm pleased to be able to articulate a few things about the transition, just because I think it's good closure and confidence building to know that over the past 5 months, there really has been quite a remarkable transition. There are a lot of things going on, as we all know, but as the new person coming in to lead the foundation and working in close concert with the Alumni Association, having the opportunity to cross over with a retiring leader has been a remarkable and unusual opportunity. So as Mike was leaving you, he told you he thought he was leaving the thing in good hands, and I believe he has done so. There has been a great legacy here, and I think as the new leader coming in, the first principle I would adhere to is to build on the great work that's been done before. I'm also interested in looking at ways to leverage our unique relationship with the Alumni Association, and the fact that I'm reporting to you this morning on behalf of both organizations is a manifestation of that interaction. We really have a unique situation here in terms of the relationship between the Alumni Association and the Foundation, very strong. Not always the case in some universities. And we really think this is a competitive advantage in the philanthropic marketplace to leverage the opportunity to engage not just donors but our alumni at a very high and sophisticated level is going to come from this unique synergy. So I really look forward to taking that to the next level in concert with the board and with Joe Maddy, who is continuing on as that in that role as well as taking on some additional responsibilities with the foundation. But, you know, the times are tough, and we really need fundraising to get to the next level here at NIU. And as a proud Husky, I take that very seriously. We're calling it Advancement 3.0. It's about building an infrastructure here at NIU that really will get us to the next level. We have wild, audacious aspirations for what the size of our endowment needs to be in order to meet the expectations for NIU going into the future. And as Mike left NIU, we hit our goals out of the park for this past fiscal year at $15.9 million in total activity, which was 113% of our goal. So, of course, when you continue to have success at that level, the goal needs to go up. So we're very aspirationally looking at a $20 million goal for fiscal next, which we are already in, and working very hard to work with the deans and the provost's office and all of the colleagues here, our board members in particular, around a very aggressive program to raise $20 million this year and then continue up the ladder as we prepare NIU for our next campaign. So it's been a few months of getting oriented towards that plan, and there have been some changes on the staff. Some structure changes, which you'll hear about soon, but all positive, all good, finding exciting new roles for people who have long tenure here, who really want to help take NIU to the next level, has been another joy, not always the transition that a new leader walks into, but a very positive one for us here at NIU. And so on behalf of the Alumni Association, I'll also tell you they've been quite busy. Mike and others in the advocacy world have tapped us on the shoulder and said, how much more can the Alumni Association and the alumni base be helpful, not only with grassroots advocacy, but some strategic grass tops advocacy? So we're working in close concert with Mike, the president's office, others, to really bring the Alumni Association into more of a prominent role around political advocacy. Again, another untapped resource we have in our almost 200,000 alumni in the Chicagoland area alone, and great enthusiasm and interest in being engaged in the tough times that NIU faces. Along the way, we're also planning the next Red and Black, which, if you haven't heard, is alive and well and happening next fall rather than in the spring. and we're turning our support right now toward the Victory Ball for Athletics, which is happening on November 7th. So look for a save the date for the red and black for November of 2016. But if you're free on November the 7th, please join us at Rich Harvest Farms to support our friends in athletics. So we're keeping busy and look forward to our partnership going forward. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. It's now time for the report regarding the Northern Illinois Research Foundation. Dr. Blasey.
Good morning. It's a very short report. The foundation has not met since this board last met. Our next meeting is next Tuesday, and I plan to have a more thorough report to give to you at the next board meeting.
Thank you. Let's return to the items that we moved to the consent agenda. Those would be items, printed items 9A, 1 through 3 and 6 through 9, and 9B, 1 through 8 and 10 through 12. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. So at this point, I believe we can commence President's Report number 99. Dr. Baker.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to have one comment before we get into the action items, and that is to introduce Vernice Edgehill-Walden. She comes to us as our Senior Associate Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer, and I'm going to ask Vernice to come up to the microphone, and while she's coming up, I want to give you a little background. A year ago, we started I formed a task force for diversity and inclusion. It was chaired by Sean Frazier and Professor Laura Vasquez. They did an amazing job, created a 180-page report that's comprehensive and insightful about where we are on all dimensions of diversity, culture, climate, inclusion, our relationships on campus, off campus, et cetera, curricular issues. It's a big to-do list, and we needed someone to coordinate all those activities across the university. And we have substantial and good activities, but we need to coordinate those activities and move us forward faster. And one of the top things that task force suggested was the creation of this position. That was done through Provost Freeman's work to reduce her staff significantly over the last couple of years, over $300,000, creating an opportunity to fund this position. Vernice has come in and hit the road running. She was a former provost and chief academic officer at City Colleges, and she knows her way around higher education. She also knows the landscape of Illinois, which we find to be wonderful. She's a visionary, a great leader, has great interpersonal skills, and I wanted her to have the opportunity today to come and talk to you a little bit about what she's done so far and where she's taking us. Bernice, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, trustees and colleagues. It's great to be a part of such a caring and welcoming community, and it's really good to be a Husky. I started on August the 3rd, and at one point I was counting days. I don't do that any longer. And since then, I've learned a lot about NIU and see great opportunities for growth. I've met with probably over 60 individuals as well as groups, faculty, community leaders, student groups, chairs of several committees, the commissions, and all of the academic and resource centers, as well as alumni, and I'm still meeting some of the college deans. As Chief Diversity Officer, I see that we have many points of pride and talented faculty and staff who are really committed to diversity and inclusion. We have accomplished a lot, but we also have several opportunities for better engagement. I've had the opportunity to listen to several people regarding curriculum, the need for better multicultural curriculum transformation, potential ways for students to be involved in transformational learning experiences in as well as outside of the classroom, and also their perceptions of campus climate and campus culture and climate, and how we can improve it together. The need for the centers, the commissions, the committees, and the student organizations to work more collaboratively, I have heard loud and clear. and opportunities to partner with the city of DeKalb. Also, how we can improve accommodations for persons with disabilities, and how to improve the retention and completion of diverse student populations. One of my immediate goals is to align our diversity task force recommendations with the NIU overall strategic plan and to begin to implement some of those recommendations. Using the diversity task force recommendations as a blueprint, I see opportunities for how we as a community can become more inclusive and to operate more efficiently and to better utilize our resources more effectively. There are lots of opportunities for partnering and fine-tuning programs and services to better serve our community, and which we can also be very proud of. I thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this community, and I look forward to working together to expand the great work that has already begun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions from the board for Vernice before she leaves?
I'll just say welcome. It's a pleasure to welcome you and have you here. We've met, and I enjoyed that meeting, and I look forward to the work that you're going to do.
Thank you. Trustee Marshall.
You mentioned disability. I'm thinking of the presidential commissions, the four, and I certainly hope that all four of them will get more activity now.
I look forward to that. I've been meeting with them and look forward to doing a collaborative team effort with those commissions as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And Vernice is moving to DeKalb. She's been commuting, and she's getting sick of the commute, so she's moving to DeKalb soon. And her son will be happy to see her more often. All right. The first action item is 9A4, and that's the internal budget. And this is a little bit unusual, or a lot of bit unusual. In most years, we would have a budget by July 1st. And we don't. We don't have a state budget by July 1st. So when we put this together, we're having to put it together with our best estimates on what our revenues are going to be and what our expenses are going to be. As you probably all know, the governor has suggested a 31.5% budget reduction. That takes us down almost $30 million. That's a significant reduction. We're hopeful that that's not going to actually happen, but that is on the table from the governor's office. The legislature passed a budget of a little over 8% reduction. So we think we're going to be somewhere in between those two numbers. But as we budget, we've got to take a conservative fiscal perspective. Even though we believe we're not going to be cut ultimately that much as 30%, we're taking a very conservative estimate on our revenues, and we are working to reduce our spending. So I'm going to ask Vice President Al Phillips to talk to us a little bit more detail about our revenue situation, and then we'll have the motion for the budget, knowing that things are in flux and we will have to come back to you once we do have a state budget, assuming we do, and I think that's a pretty good assumption at some point.
Our budget recommendation, as President Baker said, is assuming a 31.5% reduction in funding, which equates to a $29.4 million reduction in appropriation from what we received last year. This is the governor's recommendation. It went to the General Assembly. As President Baker said, the General Assembly passed a budget that reduced funding to higher education by 8.6%. Unfortunately, it was out of balance by about $4 billion. Since when you subtract pension payments, mandatory payments, and debt service payments from the state budget, which are all required spending, a $4 billion reduction in appropriations is a 20% reduction across the board in state spending. So even if they pass the 8.6% reduction, it would be possible that if there is nothing on the revenue side, that we would receive an additional 20% cut, which gets us up to 28.6% reduction or $27 million cut if nothing else is done. And once again, there's nobody in the entire state of Illinois, to include the governor or the speaker, who actually know what the final number is going to be or when we're going to receive it. So that makes this all somewhat challenging. So what we took was the governor's original number, which was the 31.5% reduction and the 29.4% reduction in state appropriation, and that's what we included in our model. In coming up with our budget number, we assumed a full year of state funding. Once again, we are making quite a few assumptions that we would not normally make. The assumption is that at some point in time, they will reach an agreement and we will have some level of funding. It assumes an enrollment decline of 481 students. Original estimates were actually greater than that, that we thought the enrollment would be down a little more than that, so that was helpful. It assumes a consistent level of enrollment for spring semester and assumes tuition is approved by the board at the December 2014 board meeting. One of the things that is helpful is that even though we are holding tuition level, as the senior class moves on, they're actually paying lower tuition and fees than the incoming freshman class. So the net increase of revenue from tuition and fees from students actually does go up a little bit, even though our enrollment's down. So that also helps us somewhat. Once again, we are assuming a worst-case scenario for a state appropriation. Our hope is that if we do receive reductions, that it will be somewhat less than that. It assumes a very conservative revenue projection. We're being very conservative with all of our estimates. And it also assumes that we will continue to reduce expenses, which we are doing on a daily basis, and that we would have funds available to cover any shortfall. So the request is that we approve a budget going forward, I would say temporarily, until we do get a final state budget number of $389,449,900, with the understanding that when we do get additional information, we do finally get an appropriation from the state, we will be coming back to the board for approval of our final budget number.
So, any questions?
Yeah. Trustee Muir.
We have several very positive things that are happening that we've reported on this morning. I was relieved that our enrollment stayed over 20,000, and Dr. Weldy knows I was most relieved by that because I really think that the 20,000 is a watershed mark for the university. We reported this morning on research grants and collaborations. My observation is that, and I've spoken with the provost and the president about this, we're doing a good job in the world that we know and the pathway that we are accustomed to. And I gave the analogy of we're in a two-story house, and we know what the house looks like, and we repair it and we paint it. The point is we may have to think outside of the box and find a new kind of house, and it may be an igloo. It may be a tent. It may be something that we don't know, because I think the sense of urgency is even greater than all of the good works that we're doing. Certainly we are on the right path. The prioritization is very important, and I know how difficult that must be for everyone here, and everyone who is not here. And so the deans and the leadership and the cabinet have been doing an extremely good job at trying to be objective through a methodology of identification of programs that should be enhanced and those that perhaps should be eliminated. I think that's the picture of the new society. We have to really relook at what we're doing. We cannot be anticipating that we're going to move in the parameters that we have known. Those parameters have to be very different. The revenue sources have to be different. The dependency on state funding for public universities has been an issue that has been going on for many years. California has seen its state funding drop below 10%. So we know that, those are some of the challenges. But what we have is a strong team. I think that the foundation has great leadership, and it certainly has great heart and has had that for a long time. But we cannot only be dependent on philanthropy. We've done a great job on personal philanthropy at the university, but I think corporate philanthropy and corporate relationship building is going to be another area for us to really focus upon. And that really goes hand in hand with research. And so the greater successes that we have in research, the greater collaborations we can have with corporations, the greater collaborations we can have in terms of corporate giving. The greatest successes we have in the area of research in terms of funding for grants, whether it's agency grants or government grants or private grants, I think those are all the challenges. And the last comment I would like to make is I think we need to reevaluate our time frame and our clock. I think that we have a clock that is moving on an hourly basis, and it's the clock that we know. But I think we need to go to our physics department and check out the atomic clock and determine whether or not we can be on the pace that I think is demanded of us, because the pace, as in terms of what's ordinary and customary, won't be fast enough. And so those are our challenges. But I think it is important for the university to continue to remember the positive things that are happening, because I think only with optimism do you have growth. I think that if we get too retrospective and if we're looking at things in too dismal a fashion, we will become paralyzed, and that will be the downfall of the university. So knowing where the path is, knowing where the path may be, knowing where the time might change, I think those are the things that are the challenges for us now and in the future. Thank you.
Other preliminary comments? Trustee Butler.
I concur with all of the remarks that Trustee Muir has made. I guess for me the question would be, how do we as a board receive assurance that those objectives are priorities for the administration and the institution? And I think that as we move forward through the months of the fall and we learn more about the revenue picture and the cost-cutting activities of the administration, I hope that we will begin to see evidence that the steps that Trustee Muir is mentioning are being taken, because I don't think they're optional. These are unprecedented cuts in the state allocation. The item that we have in front of us today demonstrates a stark fact, which is that we are, as a board, authorizing the expenditure of $389,449,900. When we are also conscious of, it is right in front of us, that we've not reached the target cuts necessary to operate within that framework. We see in front of us the actual dollar amount that the institution is planning to spend, and that's not the same amount. So what we have is a mandate coming from this board that at this time you are to move forward within the structure and framework of this authorized dollar amount, and because that's all we can do. So this creates an urgency on the campus to operate within that dollar amount. Now, when you come back to us next, you've identified cost savings to get us closer to this number in terms of the dollar amount that you'll need to operate. That'll be good news. But at some point, we're going to have a very serious discussion up here as to whether or not we can operate a budget that has a deficit, because I don't think that we've decided as a board that we can. And so these are very serious times, and I wanted to accent what Trustee Muir said. There is a mandate that we think differently. We have to. We have no choice.
I'd like to see whether we can clarify what the request is for us today before I make some comments and ask whether there are others. So what I believe I heard is that the request is going to be for continued temporary authority until our next meeting. Do I understand that part correct? And I'd also like to make sure that I understand the correct number, because in the printed material that was distributed in advance, the budget number was $388,013.1. Is that the number that's being requested? I know that there was circulated, I believe only to the board, a couple of other pages that had in them another number.
The actual number is $389,449,900. Since the FFOC meeting, we received the 10-day enrollment numbers, which, based on that information, we adjusted the revenue figures.
All right. So before we get to further discussion, perhaps I can have a motion then that pursuant to the Board of Trustees bylaws, the Board of Trustees would approve an interim FY 2006 internal budget in effect until the next board meeting in the total amount of $389,449,900 in accordance with the table that is attached to that document that was circulated to us.
So moved.
All right, so let's have further discussion at this point. Before I ask questions, would there be comments or questions from any of the other board members? All right, so I want to be clear about the magnitude of the challenge that we faced. Last year's budget was $426 million or thereabouts. So the magnitude of the expense reduction required to balance a budget at $389 million is obviously a challenge. And part of the reason that we're taking a look at continuing to do this on an interim basis is that we've been unable to find voluntary reductions that will allow us to meet the temporary budget target that we're being asked to produce today. So the message that I want to leave everybody with is not one of panic, that there is work that is being done on both the revenue and the expense side, but that we're all going to have to find a way to cooperate to be able to find a way to do the best we can to be able to balance our budget. So I think that the remarks from Trustee Muir and Trustee Butler are asking whether the challenge that we face and the obvious task that is before us is one that is going to be embraced by the administration. Can you give us some assurance that that's the intent?
Absolutely, and thank you for those comments. It is not time to panic, but it is time to buckle down and work hard, and that hard work's been going on for a significant amount of time. I want to thank Vice President Phillips and Vice President Freeman for that hard work they've been doing. I will say all the vice presidents in the administration have looked hard at their divisions and made some very difficult decisions and significantly reduced budgets. They're doing that with an eye toward not harming the function of the institution and allowing us to fulfill our mission, but they have made some very hard decisions. Now, I also like to thank the deans for their hard work. They are all leaning forward, trying to do as best they can here to support the teaching, research, artistry, outreach activities of the institution, but doing it with smaller budget. That's hard work, and this has led to, I think, a collaboration that is very positive. You know, when you get in these kind of hard times, you can fracture and kind of have infighting, or you can come together and try and work as a team. And I've seen the latter happen. People know this is a serious situation, and they're working hard. And so I want to compliment them. It's pretty hard to miss these issues, and we're moving forward, I think, as best we can, given these uncertain times. And laying the contingency plans that are important. And we're also trying to communicate as best we can through all the media that we've got to our stakeholders, internal and external, about where we're going and what's happening.
Thank you for that answer and the commitment to find a way to see whether we can achieve balance here. I think it's commendable that rather than set a revenue budget that we don't think we can meet, we're at least being open about the challenge that's being faced, and I appreciate the efforts that are being made by all within the university community to participate in this process, which I know is challenging for everybody. Any other comments? Questions? Trustee Muir.
Just the last comment to reiterate what you said. I think it's really important, and I think, John, you may have said this as well, We are not looking at an unbalanced budget. Whatever that is, we are going to maintain in a balanced budget format, which means that we do look at the revenue to know what it is that we can spend. We cannot spend outside of the capacities of what the revenue is. And I wanted to really reemphasize that. That's not an option for us as an institution. So we either need to get the revenues up, which is the better way of addressing things, than it is to continue to cut expenses. So we have to figure out ways in which to enhance the revenue with less dependence on the state.
If there are no other questions or comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, and thank you for those comments. In the somewhat surreal budget world that we face, even though we don't have a fiscal year 16 budget from the state, we've now been asked for fiscal year 17 budget from the state. And so all the universities and agencies in the state are asked to forward their budgets. And that's part of the annual process in a normal budget year. This would be the logical time to start planning for the 17 budget. So we're planning for the 17 budget, and we are fulfilling that requirement. So I'm going to ask Vice President Phillips again to talk to us about the budget request guidelines and where we're headed with that.
This is an annual requirement. We have to provide these reports to the Illinois Board of Higher Education. The question was, what do you go forward with for the 2016 budget? Our recommendation to IBHE was approximately $105 million request in state funding, of which we received roughly $93 million. Going forward without an FY16 budget to base our recommendation on was viewed as the best option would be to go with our last firm number. And so what we did was we recommended a funding level of 91 or request 91 million, 91.1, which is essentially what our state appropriation ended up being for 2015. Normally, we went to the Board of Higher Ed for guidance. There was not much they could tell us. Our submissions have been somewhat more limited this year because of the fact that there's a lot of information we don't know, they don't know. And so as we get more information about the FY16 budget, we anticipate that our final recommendations may change. But we, and I think most of the other universities, all are going into the FY17 using the last good number, which was their FY15 appropriation number, and that's what we're recommending we go forward with at this time.
Again, just for clarity, the recommendation is to develop the FY27 budget request in the amount of $91,092,700.
Correct.
In addition, due to the uncertainty surrounding the final state budget for FY2016, which may result in extension of deadlines for the FY2017 budget, Board authorizes the President to make appropriate adjustments to those FY2017 request guidelines.
Correct.
All right, can I have a motion to that effect, please?
Move.
Is there a second? Discussion. And I think we understand the Alice in Wonderland approach to this. So good luck with getting us to the $91 million figure. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. The next action item is 9B9, legislative update. I guess this kind of ties together, doesn't it?
Mike and I will report on that. I will note that in the last 2 weeks I've been in Springfield, reported at the Illinois Board of Higher Education Future of the Workforce group that's looking at those issues. And we reported on the P20 network that we have here at Northern Illinois. That's a network that's been working for about 1 year. We had our first year anniversary meeting more than a week ago, and reported on our progress on the White House commitments toward education. It's a great group of K-12 system superintendents and leaders, community college leaders, the university, employers, and state agencies in this region. And we've really made a lot of progress in that regard. I think we're becoming a state model, and we were invited to come down and present that material. We also had the opportunity to talk to a number of state agency officials at that meeting, and they will report what Mike's been reporting and I've been reporting, that we're kind of stuck right now, and that they need to hear from higher education. So to follow up on that, last week Mike and I joined three other universities and went to Springfield and met with some officials there. They told us the same thing, but they also said we need to hear from higher education. We need a higher education voice from faculty, staff, students, alumni, and stakeholders. That work is underway. The faculty, staff, and student leaders have met with me. We've discussed the current legislative situation, and they are all working. I thank them for their hard work on that. Other schools are doing the same thing. I've spoken to some local community groups about it, and you may have seen an editorial in the newspaper this week about the need for the state to move forward, and that editorial is in our local newspaper, so I thank them for that. This uncertainty is not good for anyone. It's not good for students who don't know what the MAP funding situation longer term is, and it's not good for our faculty and staff who are considering their work here and their careers here, and so we just need to get this settled and move on so that we have a planning framework. Mike, what do you want to add to that?
I just want Trustee Muir to know that I took her challenge to heart, and I'm trying to report on some positive news. Not a lot of positive news coming out of Springfield, but I would like to follow up and let you know that President Baker is working closely with the public university presidents and chancellors. Tomorrow I am meeting with the legislative group from the public universities. But even more importantly than that, we are pulling together as an administrative team. Vice President Phillips is working with his CFO counterparts in the Budgeting for Results Commission. Executive Vice President and Provost Freeman is working with the Chief Academic Officers and Board of Higher Education on issues. Vice Presidents Blake Moore and Weldy and Kaplan and Blasey are all working on their respective areas on issues that are all tied to state issues, state relations. And so I just want to let you know that there's not a lot of positive things to report out of Springfield, that we are pulling together as a team to work our way through this.
Before I ask whether there are questions or comments from my colleagues, I would like to note for the record that before President Baker started his presentation on this item, we were joined by Trustee Chavez. Are there any questions or comments regarding this agenda item? Trustee Butler.
I would just add that the board is, I'm sure I speak for my colleagues, we are prepared and willing to participate in the effort to articulate the value proposition of higher education in Springfield and with lawmakers with whom we are associated. And so it's important to keep us in mind in that regard as well.
Will do. Thank you.
I think that would be a very effective thing for them to hear from the board.
I think we'll need some guidance in terms of timing and to understand where the other stakeholders are who they've talked to, and particularly who you believe we should be talking to, leadership, obviously. But if there are particular messages that we can provide at a particular time that would be advantageous, it'd be good for us to know that.
Mike and I will work with the board on that, and we really appreciate your support. Thank you. That's an important step.
So that concludes our president's report.
Thank you, President Baker. Are there other matters that board members wish to discuss this morning? If not, I will remind all concerned that the next meeting dates would be for standing committees on November 12th and for the full board on December 10th. The board needs to go now into closed session. We will reconvene, I would guess, in approximately 4 hours. We do not plan to take up any business after the closed session, but anyone interested in returning at that time, we will provide notice to, if you can coordinate that with Mr. Mann. We have a motion to close the public meeting to conduct a closed session to discuss the following subjects authorized by the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Personnel matters is generally described under sections 2C1, 2, 3, and 21 of the Open Meetings Act. Litigation and risk management matters is generally described under sections 2C11 and 12 of the Open Meetings Act. Executive session minutes matters is generally described under section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act. Is there a second? Any discussion? We need a roll call vote on this, please.
Trustee Robert Bowie.
Yes.
Trustee Raquel Chavez.
Yes.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
Yes.
Trustee Robert Marshall.
Yes.
Trustee Sherlyn Muir.
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Yes.
Board Chair Mark Strauss.
Yes. So the open meeting will stand adjourned and we'll commence the closed session. Thank you all for attending this morning.